B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
It's a great place to work. I'm excited for what's ahead. You know, we have some real good stories planned for the next few months.
Yeah, no question about it. And you got yourself an intriguing football team as well. First, let's start with the game tonight. We don't have official word. I know Derek Gunn reported that it doesn't look like Nick Foles is going to play tonight for Jacksonville. But do we have any clarification on Carson Wentz for tonight for the Eagles?
There's no official word. I mean, my guess is that he won't play. That really seems to be kind of the language that's being used. Frankly, I'm not sure he's going to play this entire preseason. It's something I wrote about in depth last week. The Eagles have adjusted the way practices are. The first teamers are taking so much work in practice relative to previous seasons. They have the joint practices with Baltimore coming up in these coming days, Monday and Tuesday, and that will give them a chance to really get kind of, competitive situations against other teams. And I don't know if they see the necessity to have him out there in live situations and games. So I'm not saying that definitively, but if I had to guess, I'd say you don't see Carson this preseason.
Well, this preseason, why have they not just kind of said he's not going to play tonight? Why not be definitive about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, Doug Peterson likes to keep it close to his vest.
I mean, they're not game planning. The opposition is not really
absolutely
game planning.
So. I agree with you, and frankly, I think it's better for fans, especially home games. They want to know if they're going to get in their car and drive to the game and see Carson Wentz play, or you're planning out the Thursday night. You want to know that. Some of that has to do with the timing of the press conferences. They like to communicate it to the players first. But for the most part, you know, I think Doug can say what his playing time plan is going to be. He did that his first year. Other coaches do it. Doug just prefers to play close to the vest.
Hey, Zach, Jason and I were speaking earlier about sort of the lack of intrigue going into this preseason week two. Obviously, we're all excited when it's preseason week one because it's the return of football. But now here we are 1 week later, and we realize it's just preseason football. And with this Eagles team in particular, they don't have many open roster spots, or there's not many roster spot battles that we are that excited for. If there is one roster battle, whether it's the third tight end or a fourth running back, what are you looking at the most tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, actually tonight what I'm most looking forward to, it's not a roster battle, but I really want to see the way Andre Dillard plays, and I want to see that development. He's had an interesting week, gotten, three scuffles, or about two or three scuffles during practices this week, and, I want to see what he's like out on the field. I thought he played real well in that first preseason game. Beyond that, in terms of roster battles, I think the depth wide receiver spots are going to be interesting. You know who your top four are. I still think Mac Hollins is going to be on the team, but someone like Mark and Michelle, someone like Greg Ward, they're really pushing there. Then depth defensive end. You know, they have Josh Sweat. Deshaun Hall has been banged up, has played a real good game last week. He was back at practice. I'm curious to see if he's out there. Then the Eagles traded for Eli Harold last Friday. So I want to see the depth defensive end spots. And I still think there's some questions to be answered in terms of depth linebacker spots. T.J. Edwards, an undrafted rookie, who's looked pretty good at practice at times. They have some decisions to make with some veteran players. So I would say in terms of down the depth chart or bottom of the roster battles, those are ones I would highlight. But really, this is a team where you could write down, 48 players who you can be pretty confident will be on the 53.
Zach Berman joining us from The Athletic on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, one of the things that has been brought up, and you just talked about offensive line and looking at Dillard tonight. I know I saw Baldy's breakdown. He really liked what he saw out of Jordan Mailata. And there's been some conversation that a team like the Houston Texans is looking for a left tackle, and that the Eagles could fit right now the contract of a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. Are you hearing anything on that? Is it? I believe it's, at best case, it's probably unlikely, but is this something that could intrigue Howie Roseman? Because we know he's a guy that when he sees an opportunity, he's not afraid to maybe go after it.
Yeah, I don't have a firm answer there because I haven't heard that they're going to go after him. You know, I've seen social media speculation, but from what I've gathered, I haven't heard anything definitive in terms of their interest. Certainly, that's the type of player, or it's a position that they really value. It's a complex situation with Clowney because he's under the franchise tag right now. So the long-term contract would be a little iffy there. It's like trading for Le'Veon Bell last season. I would guess no, because, you know, the Eagles have a lot invested in Derek Barnett. They just paid Brandon Graham. Now he's the kind of player I would pay a premium price to get, just because there aren't that many defensive ends, edge rushers in the world like him. But I haven't heard that the Eagles are going after him. And I think, you know, the Eagles value Halapulavati Vaitai. They would trade him, but it would need to be kind of a competitive price, because my guess is they're going to get a decent comp pick for him if he leaves this offseason. So I would never say never when it comes to an in his prime top tier defensive end or edge rusher like Clowney is, but I can't tell you definitively they're going after him.
Speaking of Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Now, Zach, if Carson Wentz does not play like you expect, like Jason and I expect, like pretty much every Eagles fans expect for tonight, you're going to have Cody Kessler and Clayton Thorson. I guess they each split. They each play one single half. Are you actually surprised that they also didn't bring in another arm, more so for another camp arm to battle for that third quarterback spot?
Not surprised when the nature of the injury was learned. Okay, so if Sudfeld was out for the year, Sudfeld was out until November or December, then I think the conversation is different. If you're expecting to get him back in September, which I think they are, then you can get by 2 weeks, 3 weeks with Cody Kessler. I think what's more interesting is it kind of changes their roster math. So when they took Clayton Thorson, I think their expectation, my expectation, was that he was a developmental third quarterback. And you can't carry him as the third quarterback right now if Nate Sudfeld's hurt, because Nate Sudfeld's not going on IR. So Sudfeld takes that third quarterback spot to begin the season. So you need to be comfortable with that next guy stepping in if something happens with Carson. And I think in Cody Kessler's case, he has some experience. He started games in this league. He won a few games in Jacksonville last year. So he'd be the front runner there. The other thing to consider is that if they were to sign a vested veteran, say a Sam Bradford type, then that guy's contract's guaranteed if he's on the roster week one. If you have Cody Kessler, there's a little more salary flexibility because he's not yet a vested veteran. So I think those are all things they consider as well.
Hey, Zach, where are we on the injury front on a couple of guys? Darby, Jalen Mills, Brandon Brooks, and a couple of the key guys for the Eagles, yeah, defensively, Fletcher Cox as well.
Yeah, so Brandon Brooks, he's really progressing well. Had a big doctor's appointment yesterday. I don't yet know the results of what happened there. I'm going to find out more information tonight, hopefully. And in his case, he was trying to get clearance to return to full team drills if that appointment went well. And then at that point, it's simply a matter of how does his body respond to working in full team reps. But he's not on pup, and he's hopeful that he'll be playing week one. Ronald Darby's really progressing too. Has taken part in some 7-on-7 full team drills, and well, he's been taking part in 7-on-7. Ronnie McLeod has been taking part in full team drills. Both of them are getting closer. McLeod's closer to playing than Darby is. You mentioned Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox had an interesting week. He was not out on the practice field. Even on the sideline, whereas the first 2 weeks of camp he was. Spoke to Fletcher the other day, asked him if there were any setbacks. He said no. He said this is all part of the plan. He's simply in rehabbing inside. He's been ambiguous about his timetable. Earlier this summer, I heard that the hope, the expectation, was that he'll be back week one. I haven't heard that there's been any setbacks, so that's still the time frame I'm dealing with. Jalen Mills is a really interesting one because he's still on pup. That means he can start the season on pup. If he starts the season on pup, he's out for at least 6 weeks. And, you know, he's out there in practice in, you know, sweatpants, but I don't know if he's ready to play yet. So, or close to even being ready to play yet. So I think he's the longer term one. And then the other one I would really monitor is Nigel Bradham. Nigel Bradham injured his toe in the final playoff game, and he hasn't taken any snaps yet this summer either. So Bradham's an important player at a position where they really don't have a lot of depth. So I would pay attention to that as well.
Wait, what did he do to the toe that it's still from the playoff game?
Yeah, I believe he had some, I believe he had surgery, you know, with a tendon in the toe. I would need to look at my notes for the specific details, but that's my understanding.
Wow. Crazy. Zach, tonight, it'll be preseason game number two. The Miles Sanders in preseason game one, 3 carries, 3 yards, and it wasn't a spectacular performance, but we've heard such glowing reviews of him throughout camp so far. Do you expect to see a little bit more Miles Sanders tonight?
I don't expect to see much Miles Sanders, maybe a little more than week one, but still, I think a lot of those guys who are going to have notable roles week one, I don't think you'll see much of them this preseason. Now, it's a little different in Sanders' case because he's a rookie, and I think, you know, they're going to get him on the field, get him some work, but I don't think you're going to see Miles Sanders touch the ball, you know, 10, 15 times. I think they're encouraged by what they've seen so far. Anyone who's at practice will tell you that. He's more explosive than the other running backs they have, and he's going to have a definite role on this team. I just think you'll see that role more on September 8th than you will see now.
Zach, it's becoming more and more apparent the way NFL head coaches and organizations are handling preseason, that they're making a statement. Yeah. Like, this four-game thing for preseason is absurd. Because look at a team like the Rams last year. Their starters barely touched the field. They started off their year last year. I think they went like 7-0 or 8-0 to begin the season. Didn't matter. I mean, is it almost like getting to the point where the NFL is going to look at this and go, well, I mean, they're playing these games and barely any players of intrigue or that are actually going to start for a team are even seeing the field. What's the point?
No, you're absolutely right. It's been a trend in the NFL this year. The Rams really set that trend a year ago when I think they sat 10 offensive starters the entire preseason. That's the way it's going. Now, you can talk about reducing preseason games, but there's a certain amount of, you know, revenue that's generated, you know, from the gate from having those games. So you would need to replace that revenue, number one. And then number two, and I've talked to a lot of guys about this, there's a lot of value in these games for the down the depth chart players. So you're reducing the roster from 90 to 53. If you're seeing your ones most of the time in practice, like the Eagles have, the preseason games are really a chance for, you know, roster spots, say 60 to 90, to show themselves. And that's what you'll see tonight more than anything else. I think that's what you'll see the remainder of the preseason. So perhaps there's things the NFL could do, whether it's more joint practices, organized scrimmages, things of that nature. But the preseason's certainly not what it used to be, and I think it's going to keep trending in that direction. I think you're going to get to a point where it's almost a foregone conclusion that your top players don't play.
Wow, 10 of 11 players for the Rams last year didn't play in the preseason at all, and they opened up the season, I just looked it up, 8-0.
Yeah, and got to the Super Bowl.
It just shows you it means nothing. And it doesn't even mean that you can't get off to a good start in your season. And again, college football has no exhibition games. Wow. Zach, we'll be reading you on The Athletic, man. Congrats on the new gig over there with The Athletic. I'm a subscriber. I love it. And we appreciate your coverage as well. We'll be talking to you throughout the season.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Boy, I think it is becoming really apparent that you're seeing a change, a sea change in the NFL in regards to preseason. Basically, with this, I don't think we're going to see Wentz at all.
No.
I don't think we're going to see him at all.
I got that when Doug Peterson spoke when you were off on Tuesday, when it was me and Jamie. And he talked about not wanting to bubble wrap his players, but somebody asked him about the joint practices. And he said, yeah, that's going to do a lot for Carson. And like the way he specifically talked about Carson with the joint practices, where he's still going to wear the red jersey, right? He's still not going to get sacked. He still just talks specifically about Carson, how it's going to be great for him. And then he also mentioned how preseason doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is going to have to eliminate two of these preseason games. I don't want to say trending, it's trended in this direction.
Right.
And it's extreme now. And when you have a team like the Rams last year, 10 of 11 starters on the offensive side of the ball didn't play it down in preseason.
And there's going to be more guys that are open about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, like, he doesn't say a bad thing ever, right?
No.
He has come out and said, yeah, preseason's not necessary.
Yeah.
He said it. It's not necessary.
And they all didn't. None of these guys had preseason in high school growing up. They never had preseason in college. There was no exhibition games. So there's no reason to do it at this point. Maybe they just do the two joint practices and play two games, one home, one away. And I know the revenue thing that Zach just brought up, it's a revenue because of the gate. NFL teams, for the most part, almost all of them, are making money hand over fist.
Right.
Do your fans a favor. Stop charging him for this. I don't need to see spots 60 through 90 on the depth chart like Zach brought up. I don't need to see it. I don't care. Yeah, some of those guys may get a job out of it and stuff like that. I get that part of it, and you may find a diamond in the rough. Well, find it in practice or in these controlled scrimmages. Don't keep charging fans this kind of money for what is clearly not even NFL football. It's basically the CFL or the American Alliance Football League, whatever that other one. That's what it is, because these guys aren't NFL players. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. That's Andrew Salchunas in for Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. We're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I can tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, because with football season, that's often the times when a lot of people get back in the action, like to put a little couple shekels down on the game. Well, FanDuel Sportsbook is officially live in Pennsylvania. So as summer continues to bring the heat and then into the fall and into the winter, you can bet on your favorite teams, and you can bet on money line spreads, parlays, props, and more on every game from anywhere in Pennsylvania. So right now, don't sweat the summer heat. Be a betting pro online or through the app. And FanDuel Sportsbook is offering you a risk-free bet up to $500 when you sign up with my promo code Jason. So if you lose your first bet, FanDuel's going to give you a refund in site credit. So if you're thinking of using your risk-free bet now, are the boys in pinstripes going to keep streaking? Three in a row? They do need another win. They could use it, and the bats stay alive. Don't forget, you can bet on those games risk-free and take a chance, because if you lose, you'll get a refund in site credit. You can download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to claim your risk-free bet, again, up to $500 with promo code Jason, J-A-S-O-N. Risk-free bet applies to first wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. The Club Risque in the Northeast tonight from 9 to 10, and grab a pair of FanFest tickets only from 97.5 The Fanatic. Earlier today with Gargano and Martinez.
Now welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Charlie. As the Phils bats come alive, all because John Middleton decided to make Charlie Magna the head coach. Is it that simple? No, it's not.
Yes, it is, Jason.
It's ridiculous. But it was good to see last night. The bat's alive. How about Bryce Harper? Two bombs. How about JT with a salami? You gotta love it. Cole Hamels. Thanks, Cole. He was horrible.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Wheel Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. With your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Real Philly delis, visit realphillydeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez.
Yep, it is the Midday Show. Andrew in for Anthony. It's game day in Philadelphia, dual game day tonight. Both games, 7 o'clock. You got the Eagles preseason game, week number 2 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doesn't look like any Nick Foles. Probably no Carson Wentz. I'm not sure why the Eagles aren't being more definitive about that. That's why I asked Zach that. Like, if you're not planning on playing them either just tonight, you don't have to comment about next week, because maybe that'll get determined at this joint practices that happen with the Ravens on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
But why not just be definitive about if he's playing tonight? I know it's not a home game, so it's not like...
Oh, maybe Doug's got a pick on the game, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
what are we doing here? We're not game planning. Yeah. And Zach was right. Like, for the fans, there are people driving down to Jacksonville that are at least Eagles fans that live around that area. Mm-hmm. Now, it's their one chance to be able to watch the Eagles in person because they're not playing Jacksonville during the season. But I'm sure a lot of them went down to see Foles versus Wentz.
Yeah.
Now, we knew early that Foles wasn't playing. At least yesterday, Derek Gunn reported it. But not knowing whether or not Carson Wentz will play, and you get there and it's Cody Kessler?
Yeah.
You're disappointed.
Well, or Thorson. Even worse. But the thing is, like if you have tickets to a preseason game, you shouldn't go into that with the assumption that you're going to see starters, because Correct. That's the way it was in the past. you have to go in with the assumption that I'm not going to see them, and if I do, it's a bonus. So when you plunk your money down, you don't go, well, I'm only putting this money down because it's preseason game week three and Carson's going to play a half. If you're paying attention around the NFL, you can't guarantee that anymore. You can't.
I still think it would be fair for the organizations to say whether or not Carson's going to play.
Yeah, I think at this point, you might as well just say, hey, we're going to keep him out this game. We're not going to play him this game. We'll address next week's game, or we'll make a decision on week three against Baltimore at home next week, and we'll let you know our decision by Wednesday, the day before the game,
right,
whatever it is, right? But at this point, the NFL just, you might as well just get rid of two of these preseason games. I mean, I'd be fine if they got rid of all four. But I get it. There is some gate to it. You can't add another extra open practice and charge people for it.
No.
Because they already are down to one, which is way below the league average. The Eagles are, at least. I think the league average is like 9 open practices. Some teams, every practice is open.
Yeah.
You know,
the Cowboys have like 20.
Yeah. And so I'm not in favor of doing that, but these preseason games, it's just where, and I think fans will understand, they'd be fine with it. And I'm not one of those people who's like, I want to see Wentz, and I'm intrigued, and I don't want to treat him with kid gloves in the sense where like, I got to be careful because I can't get this guy hurt. We all know that the depth beyond him is really thin, and I don't like that mentality of going, well, we're not going to put him in any situations where he can get hurt. But that being said, I get it. Like, I understand it. I don't have to see Wentz. I'm not up in arms that he's not playing going, well, he's got to play football so he can be ready to play football. Because that is baloney. It's just not true anymore. I don't know that it ever was true when they had two-a-days and they had these crazy camps. And way back when, Anthony brought it up last week, when they had 6 preseason games. I don't buy any of that, because at every other level, before you get to the NFL, they don't have exhibition games.
Yeah, but they're also training during the offseason more by themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see guys at the gym a lot of times, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. A lot of guys played football during the regular season and then would have another job during the offseason. They weren't going to one-on-ones with certain training coaches and guys that are going to put their bodies into incredible shape. It's different now.
Yeah, and even the offseason, you're going to the facility a lot of times,
right,
if you're in town and you're working out there. And there's so much of the offseason that still is consumed by the NFL team because of OTAs, because of mandatory minicamp and everything else. So I think all said and done, I think you probably have like 10 weeks where you have no responsibilities to the team throughout the entire offseason.
Speaking of working out during the offseason, there's a very interesting story from Tim McManus. He put it out on ESPN.com yesterday. Of course, Tim joins Mike Masinelli every day at 4:10. There's a story about Sidney Jones and one of the team's trainers, Stephen Whitehead, who actually works out a lot with Alshon Jeffrey. Whitehead saw Sidney Jones working out by himself in the weight room during the offseason. And he saw him doing squats.
This offseason?
This past offseason,
okay.
Yes. So leading into this season. And he saw Sidney Jones, a professional athlete, squatting 135 pounds, which doesn't seem like that much for a professional athlete, whatever. No. The biggest problem that stood out to Whitehead was he was wearing one of those belts.
Mm-hmm.
Like the belts that help support you.
Yeah, your lower back.
And he was wearing one of those for 135-pound squats, which you shouldn't be doing that, right? Like, you don't need that
much. You don't need it for that
light. You don't need that much support. So Whitehead actually asked him about it. He was like, yo, dude, are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? Sidney Jones admitted to him, I'm terrified of getting hurt right now because of what happened during the combine. Like, he was terrified.
Yeah, not even combine,
hurt.
His pro day.
Yeah, pro day.
Yeah.
So Whitehead has actually been working out with Sidney Jones during the offseason, still is. He even found out that he doesn't know how to run correctly, like the way a professional athlete should run. So they've been working with each other.
Like, not striding correctly?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to this story from Tim McManus, like, it's very interesting. And a lot of people have been talking about how great Sidney Jones has looked in camp, especially picking off Carson Wentz a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this guy has saved the career of Sidney Jones almost.
I'm surprised we didn't hear about that. He didn't run correctly in his draft year. You know, all the tape that they look at and those kind of things, they dissect everything. But again, he didn't go to the combine, and he did get hurt at his pro
pro day.
And he was so talented at what he did. Mm-hmm. It's like Ben Simmons going through his entire life growing up, not needing a jump shot because he was far and away the best player at every level that he played at. And then once he gets to the NBA, he needs the jump shot.
Yeah.
But in this article, Sidney Jones says, I feel better mentally, spiritually, and health-wise. I feel really good about everything.
Well, that would be a huge thing if he could be a starting, legit, good outside corner for this team. Then you talk about the depth and everybody else that falls in line. It'd be huge for the Eagles. They took a little bit of a risk taking him in the second round in that draft when, had he not gotten hurt at his pro day, he was probably the first corner off the board on what was a good cornerback draft class.
All right.
Darren Conley was in that class. There was a lot of good players. So, we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully he learned how to run correctly. So that's
did you see the other weird football story going on right now with Colt McCoy? And what's going on with the Redskins?
No.
Whatever team doctors they have. We talked about the Eagles team doctors and Matt Collins disappearing and Chris Maragos disappearing.
Yep.
Remember Alex Smith broke his leg and then they messed up his surgery and he got infected? Colt McCoy, he broke his fibula last year, and the Redskins have since admitted that they tried bringing him back early, even though it wasn't healed all the way. A broken fibula.
Oh, my God.
They brought him back because they hoped that they could still make the playoffs last year. When you saw that team, that team wasn't ready to make the playoffs last year. He's had three surgeries since.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Like, and that's why what's-his-name doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, because like, what's going on right now. And Gruden had to talk about it last year or last week. And during the league meetings, he said what happened was when he had the injury, we were aggressive trying to get him back on the field so fast we didn't give it time enough to heal the right way. So they went back in and did a small procedure to make sure that thing is on track to be full strength by the season. That's what he said.
Wow.
It's been three surgeries now.
Yeah, and was it Trent Williams?
Yeah.
Doesn't want to play until they replace the medical staff.
Right.
Well, that's not good.
So you had the Alex Smith and now Colt McCoy.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because like a medical staff for these teams, they work for the team. So while there are ethical things with a medical staff, obviously, as a medical professional, they do work for the team. And the team wants a player to play. So there's a bit of a conflict there. The medical staff should not be employed by the team.
Right.
So, I mean, and look, go back to the Carson Wentz thing last year. He's dealing with that broken bone in his back. And when I reported it, you know, it wasn't forthright. I come to find out and obtain video that he was dealing with severe back problems all the way on October 7th. So there is a bit of a conflict of interest there. Do they have the player's best interest in mind or do they have wins and losses? That's much something the NFL is going to have to look at in this next CBA as well.
Maybe.
And hopefully there is no lockout.
Think about that. That's two quarterbacks on that Redskins roster.
Yeah, I remember seeing the video of Alex Smith at, I forget what sporting event it was or whatever, and his leg still had all the pins in it and everything.
Yeah.
It was a mess. Boy, that's not good. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phone. Let's go to Spike in Lower Marion on the Fanatic. Hey, Spike.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on, Spike?
Martinez, Valchunas, how you been?
Hello, Spike.
Hi, I just got back from overseas. I work in the flight industry, and I fly the military. So I was just in Asia, Europe, and Middle East.
Are you back for good?
I'm not back for good. No. I go back in a week. But I'm actually on my way to the Longport Dog Beach right now with my two best buds. And I'm on the AC Expressway right now.
Nice. Enjoy it, man.
Hey, want to know a fun fact, or not-so-fun fact, is everyone overseas, they either have a Yankees cap or a Tom Brady jersey. But I have seen some Wentz figures popping up lately. I have seen some Wentz gear popping up.
So Wentz is going international?
Yeah.
I like that.
So he's making headlines. I think when he came over to London last year, that he kind of blew it up, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, I just want to talk about real quick. You know, I know it's like too close to call and it's too early, but this city relies on juju or magic or whatever you want to call it. And I think Charlie Manuel coming back, like, just it brings that, like, that X factor of where we know what he can already accomplish. And just having him in the clubhouse is one of those, like, great things that we can, like, strive for and then move forward with. Because this team needed a kick in the butt. And I think Charlie in his and his sound mind's going to do it in his, like, you know.
Charlie's not going to, he spoke about this, Mike. He's not going to overstep the manager. He's not the manager of the team.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like a good move was made, and, like, knowing that he's in the clubhouse, I think it not only raises the players, but the city itself. So, like, trust me, hey, we took down Tom Brady with a backup quarterback. If you don't believe in the magic of Philadelphia, I don't know what you believe in.
Well, I don't know about the magic of Philadelphia, because we went 100 sports seasons without a title, and we've only had two since. So we had the 08 and the Super Bowl 52 in 2017. So I don't know about the magic. If so, I'd like to pull a little more magic out of the hat. You know what I'm saying, Spike?
Yeah, I get it. But I'm just saying, Charlie's...
Yeah, I appreciate your optimism, brother. I love it, man. And hopefully is the beginning stages of what is a great conclusion to this season, all the way into the playoffs, and see what happens.
Absolutely. And you got to be, because here's the thing, like, we're not out of the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of season left. I know a lot of people are like, oh, let's cut and run, like, cut our losses, figure out what we can trade and not trade. No, guys.
Well, the trade deadline's gone. Trade deadline is come and gone. And there's no waiver deadline coming up.
But people are back, because Charlie's back.
Well, I mean, if we want to regress the show and go back where I was before, like it's great. Yeah, they got a win last night, and Charlie's presence, and they scored 11 runs, the whole thing. It's great. It really is. To me, it doesn't mean a damn thing yet.
Somebody peed in your Cheerios this morning.
Well, I'm just tired today. I'm a little grumpy. But it doesn't mean anything. That one game doesn't mean anything. And I go back to, I saw somebody on social media lauding Gabe when he tinkered with the lineup and had Bryce Harper leading off, and they went out that night and they scored 12 runs. Oh, you got to give Gabe credit. He shuffled the lineup and they scored 12 runs. Maybe they were just due to hit the ball that night.
Yeah, but John Maley was still there. Yeah. Since he's gone 2-0, those Phils. Yeah,
well, first of all, Charlie's been in the building once.
Yeah, and they scored 11 runs.
Yeah, well, they scored 11 runs and they scored 4. So, like, I'm not going crazy yet.
I didn't have a chance to talk to him yet.
Yeah, for that, which is even more ridiculous than anything that Gabe said, well, I haven't talked to Charlie yet.
Yeah, that was so funny.
How have you not talked to him yet? Are you kidding me? So, while last night was great and it feels good today, in the grand scheme of things, the only way it means something is that they continue to follow it up and they get hot coming down the stretch. And I'm a little skeptical of that. Yeah, the bats can be better, no doubt. But the problem still exists. The problem is that after Aaron Nola, and you're probably not going to have Arrieta the rest of the way, you got Smiley, you got Velasquez, you got Eflin.
Hey, give me quality starts, Vargas, and we're moving on from there.
Yes.
Get me to the bullpen, which also isn't that good.
What? Get me to the bullpen?
Oh, man.
Hey, quality starts. Okay, yeah, quality starts. You may get a few. But are you going to get enough consistently when your other four guys in your rotation are Velasquez, our Smiley, our Vargas?
And not to win the division, but if you're two games out of the wild card, they could probably give you enough.
Okay, maybe.
They'll be leaking oil.
Again, like I said before in the show, expectations can change. That's totally legit. I'm just not changing mine based on last night. All right? Okay. I don't know that Charlie saved a little bit of the 08 magic dust till last night. I would have preferred if he did, he used it in 09 in the World Series or in 2011.
Yeah, but this is the better story.
And one bloody nail. Oh, so we had to wait.
Yeah, it's the better story.
In the World Series, he saved a little bit of that fairy dust so he could come back in and bail out guys that weren't even in the big leagues yet.
Exactly.
610-632-0975.
I have some numbers for you, too, for Bryce Harper.
All right.
That I want to give to you.
All right. Well, I'm waiting with bated breath. We'll see what it all means. I'm not changing my expectations just yet. I know a lot of people are. I got a tweet earlier. I read it on the show. They're dangerous now. They're dangerous with Smiley, Velasquez, Eflin, and Vargas.
Oh, man, Vinny Velo's been pitching well.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. It's the Midday Show, and it's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You got to tell people about the rule.
Oh, that's my bad. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
What's the matter with you?
Hold on. I'm not used to sitting in the big chair. I'm looking up Vinny.
I'll get you a little chair. You know, high chair?
I'm looking at Vince Velasquez stats. Velasquez, a couple quality starts the last couple times out, all right? It made me forget about
some
family
donkey
jewelers.
Production you got going
I'm
on.
I'm happy
here.
With Vince Velasquez. All right, hi, I'm Andrew Salchunas for my friends at Family and Company Jewelers. If you haven't heard, I recently got engaged, and I give all of the credit to the team at Family and Company Jewelers. I'm sure there's a lot of guys like me who don't really know what they're looking for when they go ring shopping, but things could not have been easier at Family and Company Jewelers. I showed them a picture of what she was looking for, and in minutes, they had five different rings in front of me. And once we got down to the ring, they even helped pick a wedding band to go along with it. Taking that next step in a relationship, it's a stressful time. Don't make it harder for yourself by going to a jeweler who won't give you the attention you need. Visit their store on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. You have to ask for my friend Angelo. He's basically like Charlie Manuel. I got there and made things so much easier. Charlie's now with the Phillies. They're going to start hitting home runs left and right. Tell them Andrew from the Fanatic sent you. Family and Company Jewelers, South.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Listen. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Big Pimpin', baby. It's Big Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 9 minutes from now, we'll get to Bring the Heat. I'm sure everybody was just floating after that performance offensively
last
night.
I'm sure we get a Charlie chant in there.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. I would think.
What's a Charlie? Is it Charlie, Charlie, Charlie?
Yeah, man. It was happening all night last night. It was great.
Yeah.
Well, look. Even after they won, because he comes out for the high fives, as does Gabe, and mm-hmm. they were chanting for Charlie when he was out there. Harper got him a cup of water.
I saw that. It's got to be a bit of an uncomfortable situation for Gabe.
Oh, yeah, because he's not going to get any of the credit.
No, and the fans hate Gabe, and Charlie's out there like, hey, you take the first, hey, you get the first pitch, hit first pitch. You know what I mean? Like, yes. It's real simple. Yes. I mean, that's part of the Charlie charm.
Exactly. And Gabe Kapler's looking through the thesaurus for words to use during press conferences.
I think you should take that pitch and to be very demonstrative that you're not going to hit it and really work a count. Let's go to TJ in South Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, T?
What's up, boys? How are we?
Doing good, man.
What's up, TJ?
That's awesome. Guys, I couldn't tell you how I went to the bar. I was going to go to the game, but I didn't feel like sitting through the rain, and it didn't even rain. But I went to the bar, and I was watching, and I was so happy when, yeah, obviously, you know, JT hit the grand slam, and Bryce started swinging. They just looked like at the plate, they looked like they wanted to hit the ball, like, last night. And I forget which one of you guys were saying. I think it was Martinez, but, I don't expect this to, like, my expectations aren't changing after one game, but just the look that they had excited me.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the game all on its own, just by itself, you go, okay, that's a fun baseball game to watch. There was action in the game. The ball was flying out of the park. Your big name players that you're relying on to get the job done, got the job done early and often. So, yeah, it was a great game. Now you got to follow it up.
Well, exactly. Like, I guess the next couple of games will, you know, be a tell on whether it was a fluke or whether it's going to, you know, keep on keeping on.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's going to be the key. They got to – we'll see if they're able to keep it going, right? And – we'll know within a week whether this is something that can start to build momentum like a snowball rolling down a hill, or if it was just a blip. It was just a night where they were going to hit. Hamels wasn't very good. Charlie doesn't have magic fairy dust, whatever.
No, and speaking of Hamels, what do you guys think of bringing Hamels back next year? I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be a free agent. I know he is getting older,
Yeah, he's going to be 36 on December 27th, and he's already been banged up this year. He's banged up last year. So even though he's pitching better than Jake Arrieta at this point of his career, they're pretty much both on that downslope of their career. He may be pitching better numbers-wise, but if he's just another Jake Arrieta where he keeps on getting banged up and has to miss a start here and there, do you really want another one of those guys in your rotation? Because you'll still have Jake next year, too.
Yeah, I agree. I was just thinking, I mean,
good point.
Honestly, like you said, I would rather have Cole than Arrieta, but one-year deals, easy, you know, low money, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, you have to see what else they can accomplish, T, in this offseason.
Of course.
I mean, if they can grab two really good pitchers that are reliable, guys that aren't off injured or whatever, then you maybe you take that leap on a guy like Cole Hamels, because as you mentioned, you already have Arrieta. That's a good point, because if it doesn't matter how good you are, if you're not ever available, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Jason Vargas, if you keep him next year, $8 million contract, or you can buy him out for $2 million. If you keep him next year, he turns 37 on February 2nd. So Vargas, 37.
Yeah. See, you're getting very dicey.
He turns 36 on December 27th. And Jake Arrieta may only be 33 and will be 34 next year, is already dealing with a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
Do you want to have your average age being around 35 in your rotation?
No, I'd rather bring up a young guy.
Yeah, and it's not dominant 35-year-olds. It's guys who are still pitching well.
On the back end, though.
And it is better than what you have. But do you really want that average age of 35, 36 years old going into a season where you will have even higher expectations next year?
Yeah, and the other thing is do you trust the general manager that whatever direction that he goes, do you trust that he's going to make the right decisions when it comes to the pitching staff?
That's a good question.
I mean, a couple of the moves they made this offseason were trades, you know? So, okay, some savvy trades. You end up with JT, you end up with Gene Segura. You went out and you signed Harper, you signed McCutcheon. McCutcheon will be back.
Yep.
But do you have the faith that he's going to... Because taking this roster from where it is now to being a legit contender is the hard part.
Right.
This is the hard part now.
Yeah, the hard part is it's not just one pitcher.
No, you got to assemble the right starting staff and help the bullpen.
Gerrit Cole is going to be the best pitcher on the market this offseason. Even if you get him, you only got Cole and Nola.
Yeah.
You still have three more that you have to figure out.
Yeah, and Arrieta's not a three.
No, he's not a three. Are you going to go another year of Velasquez?
See, again, then you're going with this wing and a prayer again.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of it is, I mean, man, they got to build this starting rotation up. They got to build up this bullpen. And they still got, there's other pieces they have to get. And a guy like Strasburg, he does have an opt-out.
Yes.
After this season and next season. Now, can you get to his agent and tell him to opt out because you're going to... Does he want to do that? Does he want to almost, for lack of a better term, spit in the eye of the team that he's played for and was drafted to?
The only thing for you to do that... So he's already getting $25 million next year, and then it's $15 the next two seasons, then $45 million that final year of that deal.
Yeah.
If he opts out...
Averages out to about 25 a year.
Right. If he opts out, he's going to want more money.
Doing like 30, yeah.
Even more money.
Yeah.
Do you have
at least that same term? Well, they have the money.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
stupid money.
But do you want to go... Are they going to? Is that something that they can entice Strasburg to do?
Maybe he's comfortable with the area.
Bumgarner's going to be a free agent. Do you go after Bumgarner? But again, his best days are in the rear view as well.
Yeah,
he's still good.
And a lot of these guys are going to want that one more big contract. Bumgarner, yep, who has
with
pitched
term.
Well this year, could try to get a little bit more than what Cole Hamels could get. The caller was right. If you could get Cole Hamels for cheap, that's a different story. I mean, if he's like, yeah, I'll take a two-year deal and I'll do a team-friendly deal because this is where I started and this is just where I want to finish, that's one thing. But if Cole Hamels goes, nah, I want my... I want 20 mil a year.
Yeah, but I don't want Cole Hamels because he's cheap. I want Cole Hamels because he's the right guy. I want the right pitcher. I don't want to get a guy because he's cheap. I'd rather have a guy that I can depend on. And
well, if you get Cole for cheap, you can then overspend for somebody else.
I guess. I mean, there's no salary cap.
Right.
So go out and find the player. But again, Do you trust the general manager to be able to go into the open market and convince guys to come here and sign here? Or does the owner got to get back on his jet with the big P on the wing?
Maybe.
And fly out there and close the deal again.
Hey, that's what it takes? Fine.
Because the GM and the president couldn't close the deal. He had to go out there with his wife to close it.
And I'm okay with that. And speaking of closing that deal, you're talking about Bryce Harper.
Yep.
So I see these numbers, and I saw this last night after the game ended. Bryce Harper hit 2 home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper is now on pace, and I don't really always buy into the on pace thing, because how many times have we seen Bryce Harper go ice cold this season? It's happened many times this year.
No, it's happened to him in Washington.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.